From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Let's stand and open our Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 8. We're going to deviate for just a moment in our study on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Romans 8, verse 35, we'll read down through verse 37. The Bible says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Let's pray. I want to preach tonight on the subject of a nation of victims. I believe tonight that we must address the issue that we see so prevalent. We are living in a new generation, a wild world where everyone considers himself or herself a victim. There are an infinite number of excuses today for people to claim victimhood. Some would say, "I'm a messed up family, I had a dad that was drunk, I'm a minority race, I was born into poverty." Now, of course, we do realize there are real victims. And tragically, in this sin-cursed earth, full of lust and violence and wickedness, bad things happen. I think we ought to love and support and help and pray for those who have suffered and those that have been hurt. And I do believe that God brings salvation and healing to those hurts. I'm convinced that God that brings, he is capable of bringing peace and joy and victory in the midst of those circumstances. But I'm not referring to that tonight. I'm referring to a society of fake victims. Self-proclaimed victims. And our modern culture is turning everyone into a victim. It's a philosophy that's being taught in our schools, it's being taught in our colleges, and being defined at the same time as higher learning. Regrettably, victimization is even promoted in our homes. It's promoted by our culture, it's promoted and glorified by our media, and they are collectively teaching, if you are offended, you are a victim. If you're bothered by someone or something, you're a victim. If you've ever been mistreated in your life, you're a victim. If someone disagrees with you, you're a victim. If someone talks negative about you, you're a victim. If someone identifies you differently because you're of a different race, you're a victim. If you broke our national laws in crossing the border, you're not a lawbreaker, you're a victim. If anything bad ever happened to you in the past, you're a victim. If you've ever been treated unfairly, you're a victim. Someone can say amen tonight and help out their preacher. That is the culture that we are living in. Now wives are claiming to be victims, and the husbands are claiming they're the victims, and the children are claiming they're the victims, and teachers are claiming to be victims, and students are claiming, "No, I'm the victim." Hispanics are claiming to be the victims, and blacks claim to be the victims, and whites claim to be the victims. Rich kids in elite universities claim to be victims, and the poor kids that can't get into the university are claiming to be victims. I know, I've been a pastor long enough to know everyone's a victim. I sit down and counsel couples. My wife cries and says, "You would not believe I've been so hurt." And the husband looks over, leans back, says, "Wait a minute. I'm the one that's been hurt in this marriage." Everyone wants to be seen as a victim. Matter of fact, everyone's fighting over the same chair. It's my turn to be the victim. And the kid says, "No, but really our home is bad, and I'm the one that's suffering." The mom says, "No, I'm the one that suffers around here." And dad says, "I'm the one that has to get up and work and then suffer with you all." And then the pastor says, "Wait a minute, everyone in this household is a victim." Something is so messed up in our society that there is some badge that we wear. We pride ourselves in being recognized as the great victim. Society teaches women that they're victims based solely on their sex. Society teaches minorities that they're victims based solely on their race. Our society teaches the poor that they're victims based solely on their economic status. This generation of Americans has a tremendous capacity to feel sorry for themselves. 24/7. It's unbelievable the point of insanity that we have reached in 2017. But regrettably, it's not, this insanity has not stayed outside of the walls of our church. It has seeped through and infiltrated the minds of those that are children of God. And God says, oh, we would think there would be a pity party here, that Paul would pull out a violin. This sounds like heavy stuff: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. I've never dealt with any of that. My mom made me fast as a child for 24 hours, and I thought that was famine. But other than that, I've not dealt with anything listed in here. For thy sake, we're killed all the day long. And he was dealing with the Roman government in severe persecution. He actually lost his head. But he said, nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're not victims. We are victors. And I can understand if the world is living as a victim, but I can't understand a Christian that falls into this category and prides himself in living as a victim. Children quickly convince them, their parents, that they are victims. They're a victim in school, and they're a victim at home because of their siblings and their mom and dad. How many of you remember your childhood? Something has changed dramatically in the past 30 or 40 years, because there was a generation that survived a World War or two, survived the Great Depression, and they never considered themselves victims. But now, if someone looks at you in a manner that you don't like, you've become a victim of aggression. Oh, the new terminology they've come up with is absolutely phenomenal. Microaggressions. They've got to print a new dictionary every 6 months to keep up with the newest phobia: xenophobia, Islamophobia, homophobia, pastorphobia. My dad used to tell us as kids, son, listen to me, life is not fair. Don't ever expect it to be fair. You don't hear parents saying those things anymore. Now they sit down and say, oh, that's unfair. I can't believe someone treated you unfairly like that. We're going to have to do something about that. And now these kids are professionals at manipulating their parents to help them live the life of a victim. Parents, the worst thing you can do for your children is help them adapt to this philosophy of our culture that says you too were born a victim. The lawsuits in our nation prove we're a nation of victims. The litigation. Lawsuits are now the new national lottery. 16. There are 16 million civil lawsuits in America every year. People, companies, churches live in constant state of fear that they're going to be sued. If you want to laugh at first and then lose your appetite and get sick and churn in your stomach, just go online and take a look at frivolous lawsuits in this nation. Frivolous lawsuits that have been won. As of 2006, there are over 1 million lawyers in the United States, according to the American Bar Association, more per capita than any other country. Trial lawyers earn an estimated $40 billion in lawsuit awards every year in this great country. You wonder why your insurance costs are skyrocketing?
Yeah, that's true.
Because everyone's a victim.
Right.
You get an offender bender, you better be careful. Someone's going to sue you. Because now they can't walk for 2 years. Now they can't work for six.
Yeah.
Victimhood has been the new norm, become the new norm. You turn on your radio, billboards, watch TV, you're bombarded by advertisement from lawyers that are encouraging people to seek money from whatever they suffered this year, so they got to go back in their memory. What might I have suffered? Is there a possibility I can sue someone? The entitlement mentality is prevalent. Here's what this generation says. I'm a victim, so you owe me. The government owes me. The white man owes me. The church owes me. Even God owes me a better life than what I'm getting right now. I mean, this generation that has been created, highly sensitive, easily offended, continually angry, intolerant of any dissenting view or opinion. College campuses, you watch what's going on in the news. Our universities. Now the debate is over who is the biggest victim. I mean, they're trying to figure out what nationality, what group, what age group, and everyone is clamoring for the microphone to claim, I am the biggest victim. We've lost our mind. Now, they're claiming to be victims based on what happened decades, or in some cases, centuries ago. Don't look at me like that. I had nothing to do with what Christopher Columbus did hundreds of years ago. Colleges are banning inappropriate laughter. Hate speech. Who determines what hate speech is? They're creating safe zones for their poor little pipsqueaks. They're trying to cure people of attitudes and beliefs that are unacceptable by their standards. They're the standard setter, the standard maker. Their courses are about teaching people to become super sensitive. Now you take a job and you're going to have to go through some kind of sensitivity training just so you know how to deal with people that haven't even figured out what sex they are. And God labeled them at birth. The doctor put it on their birth certificate in case there was any confusion later on in life, and they still haven't figured it out. Have to get some kind of surgery and take some kind of medication to change midstream. College is telling them they need to be shielded from offensive words. You can't tell a joke anymore. No fat jokes. No blonde jokes. No Pollock jokes. These victims claim to be frail, yet they're aggressive. They're mean-spirited. They're energetic and yelling at you if you don't agree with them. They're actively intolerant of those they claim to be intolerant. Their newest vocabulary words, trigger warnings. I'm still trying to figure out what that is. Microaggressions. And the phobia list, literally, will blow your mind. It's every other day a new phobia. They believe that their status of victimhood makes them morally superior to the rest of us that aren't victims. They're more sensitive. We fostered a nation, coddled the immature young adults who expect the whole world to rotate around them and their feelings and their opinions. And for it to take place in our public universities is one thing, but for us to accept that when the Bible is our guide, it's black and white. This is truth. God established truth. And truth is offensive. I'm going to tell you truth in a loving way. I don't want to be mean-spirited, but truth is unchangeable. Amen. Didn't suddenly change in 2017 because the world wanted it to change. They think any dissenting opinion should be banned. That's why we have all these violent protests taking place on our campuses. Free speech zones mean no speech that I hate can be allowed in this zone. You're so ignorant of our country, they don't even realize that was a basis of our free democratic republic. The ability to speak freely. This is becoming hate speech. These wealthy kids at our elite colleges talking about oppression. You're living the most elite life on the planet and you want to talk about oppression. And that's why Bernie Sanders has become so popular. It's a result of our culture and the victimization of everyone. And if we encourage them to believe that they're victims, they will act and live like victims. They'll demand help as a victim. When our educational system now, history has changed, not the same history that you received when you were in grade school. And you didn't go to a private grade school, and you didn't go to a Christian grade school. In the public grade school, you actually believed Thomas Jefferson was a decent man. Madison and those that were behind our Constitution, now they're teaching those are elitists. The government that they founded capitalized upon the suffering of others. You know what the result is? Now we have a generation that thinks socialism is great. You know what you need to do? We need to start giving them free tickets for a boat ride to Cuba. A plane trip to Venezuela. And let them go through 6 months of the beauty of socialism. Re-educate their mind. Yeah, I spent a little bit of time in Venezuela. What has taken place over the past, the benefits of socialism have bankrupted a country with all kinds of natural wealth and resources. The irony of all this is that they don't even realize, these victims don't even realize, they're just pawns. They're pawns in the hands of twisted minds. Has nothing to do with them getting a better life. It has to do with twisted people, twisted means, twisted ends. And when these victims are offered these promises, incentives, handouts, and then they just get locked into this dependent state that they can never free themselves from. It's a phony message. I can understand if you're liberal coming out of a public school and you're young, but at some point the brain has got to start functioning. You understand that kind of phony message, you know what it's created? A breeding ground for criminal activity, lack of work ethic, a breakdown of any family structure. That's why we ought to laud and praise men like Dr. Ben Carson, our Justice Clarence Thomas, who the media despises. Because you know what? They refused to live as victims. All they were born into abject poverty, they rose above and refused to play the victim. There's so many articles, I just pulled one down just to read a paragraph. Judge Clarence Thomas, President Bush's choice to succeed Thurgood Marshall on the Supreme Court. He has always been quick to tell his friends and colleagues about the grinding poverty into which he was born in coastal Georgia. His father abandoned the family to go north when Judge Thomas was 7 years old, abandoned by his father. His harried mother sent him to live with his grandparents in Savannah. The first time he lived in a house with a toilet, his success, he's told friends, was due to his grandfather's insistence that he go to school and work hard. You know what he did? He rose above his circumstances. Instead of pulling out his violin and playing the part of the victim. This culture of microaggression, people literally seek out. They are looking for opportunities to be offended. They got their hearing aids turned up. They got their ears poked out. Just listening. Just waiting for you to say something, do something, act in a manner that offends me. I'm going to run back to my safe zone. You know, I actually am thankful that I was born in a generation where boys were raised as boys and girls were raised as girls. Kids occasionally tussled on the playgrounds. Maybe more than tussle. Maybe there was some kind of violent activity that took place, like a bloody nose and someone getting punched. And a teacher that said, you better be thankful that's all you got. Then when you went home, you weren't concerned about mom and dad calling the principal or her calling the school and complaining about the teacher, the lack of supervision on the playground. No, you were concerned about your south side. Swing sets were not considered a potential cause for lawsuits. Tag was not an illegal activity. Smoking marijuana was. Times have changed. Because this society has lost its God-given mind. Now, I mean, you look around this generation of boys. I mean, we used to wear tight pants because my mom couldn't afford anything other than that. Now they're buying them new. I don't know if they go to JCPenney and just have someone spray paint that on. Squeaking around. That's why we call them pipsqueaks. Don't even know how to tackle. Their favorite sport is ping pong. No wonder their wrist is bent like that. You need to give them a weight set. Teach them to wrestle. Make sure they've had a bloody nose at some point in their life. They know how to skin a rabbit. Some of these boys haven't even owned a knife till they get married, and that's a kitchen set that someone gave them at their wedding. I do understand there is racism, there is discrimination, there is aggression. Those are realities. But if everyone on the planet is a victim, no one on the planet is a victim. We can't even identify victims anymore. There's so many fakes out there. So let me ask you this tonight. What makes a victim? What makes a victim? Totally anti-biblical to be a victim. Number one, feelings of extreme anger make a victim. Here's what a victim says. I've been mistreated. They actually say it like this. I've been mistreated. I've been hurt. I'm offended. Get over it. It's going to happen dozens of times in life. You know what every other generation has done? They've gotten over it. They matured. They didn't stay like a two-year-old in the nursery for the rest of their life. The rage is directed towards someone else, and it keeps them from any kind of introspection where they look at, why am I angry? Why haven't I? They're living as victims to the past, dragged around by yesterday, reliving the past as if it were today. Oh, brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how tired I am as a pastor of hearing about what happened 25 years ago and 18 years ago. And at some point, you got to realize you have today. You can drag that around for the rest of your life and die a bitter soul, or you can wake up and say, I've got today. You know what? This Bible actually has a solution, and God actually has a solution. You know what the biggest and best solution is? Stop being offended. Just stop being offended. Why do you have to wake up every day and live hoit? My heart is hoited. Now, I know everyone's not happy about this message tonight. Because you have bought the lie, you have drank the powder, you have believed our culture, and you now consider yourself a victim. At some point in your life, you're going to have to move past being a victim. If you've got a God in heaven, if you've got a Holy Spirit living inside of you, if you've got a book to guide you, if you have Jesus Christ and He has forgiven you, you are not a victim. You may choose to live the life of a victim, but you're not a victim. Christ is the example. Christ will shatter your preconceived ideas. of victimization. Because he came to this earth, he left his home. He was mistreated. He was rejected by his own. He came into his own received him not. 33 years without a sin. His own brothers, his own family did not believe that he was the Messiah. But after 33 years, he's falsely accused. You want to talk about a trial that broke every established Jewish law, the Sanhedrin. What a mockery what took place that night. And then the crucifixion, the perfect Son of God, the Lamb without spot, without blemish. He's hanging there on the cross. Now, he was either going to become the world's greatest victim or the world's greatest victor. And the only thing that was going to change him from victim to victor is for him to look out there at those that were crucifying him and say, "Father, forgive them." So, Pastor, I've just got these feelings of extreme anger. What do I do? Do what God tells you to do and confess and forgive. Amen. Number two, what makes a person a victim? The absolute refusal to accept any personal responsibility. Anything found in this book will tell you you are responsible for your actions. But this world will tell you, don't take any responsibility. The victim always claims complete innocence. The victim mentality says, I'm not responsible for this. Don't blame me. I'm a victim. If anything bad happens to this kind of person, they quickly turn to someone else that is understanding and wraps their arms around them and says, yes, you are a victim. There are two people that do that professionally, therapists and lawyers. So guess what profession is growing? Pastor, what profession do you think I ought to get into? Where can I make a lot of money? Become a therapist or a lawyer, because this world is full of victims. This nation is full of victims. This state is full of victims. This city is full of victims. You'll have plenty of work. You sit down with that therapist and he'll go, look, we got to go back a long, long, long time ago, because somewhere along the line, you became a victim. This had nothing to do with you. We will find someone. If we have to go way back to when you were 18 months old, we will find the culprit. We will label the victim. And the lawyer says, we won't only label them. We'll get money out of them. We'll get a lot of money out of them. You can jump on board or you can squirm. You're going to do one of the two. Everyone in this generation is a member of an aggrieved group, an oppressed group. We are oppressed. They love the entitlements that come with being part of the aggrieved group. Now, let me tell you something. We all suffer from injustices. Every single one in here has some kind of story and some kind of injustice that they've dealt with. The best thing you can do is to stop building your identity around an injustice. Stop building your identity around being a victim. It's very depressing. You'll need a lot of medication. And the more you take, the more you'll need. And at some point, ice cream, popcorn, vacation won't work. You'll need the real stuff. You'll need a real therapist. You'll need the real medication. And then that won't work. And then you'll need more. And then you'll reach a point where they can't help you because the depression will be too deep. Pastor, why are you preaching on this? Because it is the biggest need of our hour. It is the biggest crisis in our nation at the moment. Happiness is overcoming your circumstances. You do not need to live as a slave to your circumstances. You don't need a perfect mate to live with. You don't need a perfect environment. You don't need a perfect salary. You don't need a perfect job. You don't need a perfect church. You don't need a perfect ministry. You don't need a perfect car. You don't need a perfect city to live in. You don't need a perfect climate. You don't need a perfect Thanksgiving. You don't need a perfect Christmas. Your biggest obstacle is not that circumstance. Your biggest obstacle is your perspective. your attitude concerning that circumstance. Somebody's deprived me of my rights. This generation just makes up rights. I have the right to make money in my youth. Actually, you don't. You're so stupid, you'll probably never make money. That's not a right. That's not in the Bill of Rights. That's not a God-given right. That's an imaginary right that doesn't exist. Here's the problem. If you're a victim, you're impotent. You're saying, I have no power. I have no power to change. And God has given you power through the Holy Ghost. You know, these people that we just mentioned, this category we just talked about, they are victims. I must admit, they're victims usually of laziness. Because at some point you pull your rear out of bed, you pull it outside, you put it in gear, and you say, I'm going to make a difference, and by the grace of God, I'm going to make today better than yesterday. We are a coddled generation. We are an overly coddled generation. At some point, God, help this generation pull themselves up beyond their circumstances. Quit relying upon every excuse that your life has given you, your family has given you. You're not the only one with an excuse. There are people with much worse things in their background. Should I tell you about my grandmother? Should I tell you about my grandfather? I want to see if your story even compares. We're using the excuse of great-grandpa and great-grandma. You're going to go online, look up your family tree so you have an excuse of why you are, who you are, why you are where you are. You got to find someone to blame it on. Can't blame it on mom. Can't blame it on... What a lack of character. We've seen the decay of character in this generation. Let me define it for you because I think we've forgotten what character is. Character is engaging in self-restraint. That's character. You don't see much of that anymore. It's practicing moderation. I mean, our kids in this generation can't even help themselves going to the 7-Eleven. They've got to find a big gulp. And not only do they got to get a big gulp, they got to fill it up, drink half of it, and refill it before they ever walk up to the counter. But hold on for a second. That's only about 68 grams of pure sugar. I better throw in a candy bar to top that off. Characters practicing moderation. Understanding your duty to others. Living honestly. Working hard and overcoming obstacles. Should we go on? Yeah, all those things that have been forgotten in this generation. I've had people say, well, you're too quick to compare. Your point of reference is 45 years ago. No, it's not 45 years ago because I barely even remember what was going on 45 years ago. But my point of reference is definitely not this generation. Dignity is a result of accepting problems and challenges in life and overcoming them with high character, high Christian character. But to be a victim is give up on responsibility. To be a victim is to say, I'm powerless. Not if you have Jesus inside you and the Holy Ghost. The power of the victim comes from being perpetually powerless. That's the power of the victim. Their only power comes from, I'm a victim. I can't do anything. How can I overcome this? I need some help. I need someone to feel sorry for me. Could someone hug me? Need some more mercy. Group hug. Group hug. We're so stupid now. You got people standing out in the corner with a sign that say, free hugs. The victim is a spectator. Things happen to them, but they never are responsible. Number three, what makes a person a victim? The desire to hurt, attack, or demonize other people. Hold on. If you think about this, be careful. If you think about this and you're a victim, you're going to get offended right here. If you meditate on it for just a moment, your blood pressure is going to go up like mine just did for different reasons. The desire of a victim is to hurt. I'm going to say this more slowly just to make sure everyone gets it. The desire of a victim is to hurt, attack, or demonize other people. They hurt me. They disagreed with me. They were mean to me. I'll never be able to overcome this. They must be punished according to my desires. There's no trial that's needed. My feelings are the only evidence that are needed. And somebody has to pay for my unhappiness. I just want you to know I am now the judge and the jury. Court in session. There's a biblical solution to this too. It's called letting God be God. God is the judge. God is the jury. He'll figure this out. He'll sort through this. He'll establish justice and judgment. Be careful, mothers, because while you shake your head in the message, your little child has already manipulated you. Because they're upset and they've deemed themselves the victim. Now they've convinced you that they're the victim. It doesn't matter whether, maybe you left home and the brothers and sisters and the oldest sister, she sent me to the kitchen and she made me do all the dishes by myself. So you sit down, the oldest sibling. You should not be Hitler. You don't make all the rules. I make the rules. You're teaching that boy to be a victim. You're teaching that girl to be a victim. Squeaky, fussy, whiny. I mean, we got four-year-olds that can't let loose of their parents. Six-year-olds that hide behind their mother. 10-year-olds, as soon as they get in trouble somewhere, right to mom. I don't believe what's going on. The little polished nails, fluffy hands, smooth as silk, have never even made their own bed. Some point, that guy's going to have to be the provider of his house. I guess if he becomes an IT tech, maybe he can keep those hands that silky smooth, but other than that, he may have to work. I don't need you offended today, your preacher. I don't need you offended at truth. I need you offended at a society and a culture that's convinced you that you're a victim. We're either all victims or we're not. Hold on for a second. You're looking at someone in this congregation. I am not a victim. I've got friends that are victims. I've got siblings that are victims. I've got family members that are victims. I've got ex-church members that are victims. I've got college roommates that are victims. I am not a victim. By the grace of God, I'll live every day a victor. I thank God for a mom and dad that taught me you are not a victim. If you are alive, if you are breathing, if you're saved, you're not a victim. As soon as these kids have a little concern, that's the look of a victim. Okay, if you haven't figured that out yet, it's a look of a victim. It's called manipulation. And here goes mom. Oh, the boy is 12. Don't be doing this to a 12-year-old. And then that genius that never figured out anything about manhood going to get angry at the world and run off to the military. I can't wait to see how his sergeant hugs on him. I can imagine, yeah, command leader, group hug. Number four, what makes a victim? Selfishness. Self-centered behavior makes a person a victim. The world ought to revolve around me. Victims are used to being catered to. They're used to manipulating others to feel sorry for them. They are absolutely hooked on the mercy and the aid of others. I need someone to show me mercy today. I need someone to understand how hurt I am. These are people that constantly live looking for another support system, always in need of compassion. They do not want to be delivered from their circumstance because they are addicted to mercy. They prefer to go all the way through life as a victim, and that way people will continue to feel sorry for them today, tomorrow, and forever. We are victors, and we ought to start living that way. I will be nobody's victim. I will not live a victim. I will not die a victim. I was not born a victim. I will not become a victim. I will work, I will forgive, I will overcome, I will rise up, I will rise above, I will get up, I will get over. I don't need a group hug, I don't need a pat on the back. Pastor, do you want a little bit of compassion? Spare your hug, spare your pity. Use it on someone that actually needs it. I'm not going to live that way. Not today, not tomorrow. Well, Pastor, maybe you haven't dealt with a real tragedy. Trust me, I've dealt with enough tragedies in my short life to last a lifetime. I've seen enough sorrow. I've felt enough pain. I've dealt with enough attacks. You don't want to compare stories. But I will not live a single day teaching my children or telling my family, or convincing myself that I am a victim. I'm not a victim because of where I live. I'm not a victim because of my skin color. I'm not a victim because I've been attacked. I'm not a victim because I've been lied about. I live in a real world with real world problems, and that's what happens in a sin-cursed planet. And there is sin, and there are problems, and there are people that are hurtful, and there are those that have hurt me on accident, those that have hurt me on purpose. That doesn't make me a victim unless I hold on to that today, tomorrow, and become their victim. No, if I were unsaved, if I didn't have this book, if I didn't know Jesus Christ, I'd probably be a victim by now. Oh, the generation that knew how to live and survive and rise above. Too many have wasted too much time living the life of a victim. You know what you do? You start playing a new role. You stop taking and you start giving. You stop complaining and you start expressing gratitude. Gratitude. Hey, Pastor, I've got a problem. Gratitude will solve that. I've got someone I want to tell you about. What do you think? Gratitude will solve that too. Well, Pastor, let me tell you about my job. Gratitude will solve that. Well, you don't know anything about my mate. I'll tell you what will solve that problem. Gratitude will. Divorce won't. Separation won't. Anger won't. Bitterness won't. Becoming a victim won't. But gratitude will. Pastor, you don't know about my dad. You don't know about my son. You don't know about that person. You don't know about my job. I certainly don't, and I praise God that you are saved and can rise above that. Jesus Christ, in this book, through his life and his victory, shatters that victim mentality. How can two people suffer the exact same thing and one be a victim, one be a victor? Choice. Personal choice. You guys say, I'm going to stop being a victim. I'm going to stop raising little victims. Because this society doesn't need another victim. We've got plenty in the United States of America. Why would you raise another one? He'll only be a victim, she'll only be a victim, as long as you allow them to be a victim. But if you sit down with them and say, no, you're stronger than that. You're bigger than that. You're saved. You have God's help. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost. You can forgive that. You can overcome that. You can face that. You can embrace that. You can conquer that. No, that's not the power of positive thinking. That's a Bible principle that'll move you past anything in your past. Now, tonight, let me just say this. This world is full of fake victims. Stop participating. Just stop participating. Stop treating people like victims. Stop acting like a victim. Stop raising fake victims. Say, Pastor, what about me? I'm offended because I am truly a victim. If you've suffered something tragic in your past, a crime, molestation, a rape, a horrific sin, let me say this. Despite the pain suffered, God still wants to make you a victor. His grace can. His grace is sufficient. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked tonight. You're not alone. Scores and scores, scores of people have dealt with things in their past, and by the grace of God, been used of God, lived happy lives, fulfilled lives, overcoming whatever life had dealt them. So tonight, if we can leave here remembering the words of Paul, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed. You would think at this point, Paul would plant the flag of victimization. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, defenseless sheep. And then he says, nay, no, sir, I'm not a victim. Because in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And the greatest joy any pastor has is watching someone that truly could claim to be a victim, and they get in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they experience that love, that grace, that forgiveness, that strength, that comfort. And through the grace of God, they rise above. That's the grace of God. And they say, no, I don't want to spend a day, I don't want to spend a week, don't want to spend a month as a victim. I want my life to be lived as a victor.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.